Welcome into the official Guru Nation Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Dalton. You can follow me on Twitter at DaltonGuruFF. I'm joined by the Guru Nation Fantasy Football Godfather. How are we doing?
We are doing lovely because today we are going deep into three running back gems you need to target in your rookie drafts. And I'm excited because I don't feel like people are talking about these guys enough, or maybe people are woke enough to know about them and that's why they're keeping them under wraps. But you just can't for this long, because now we are here in May. People are entering their rookie draft soon enough around the corner. So we're going to shed some light on these guys, and you may love these guys and agree, or you may not like these guys, and that's okay.
Exactly. So we're going to be talking up this first player who in the pre-draft process was really the only running back to kind of pop at the combine. It just seemed like an underwhelming running back class in terms of athletic measurables. This guy decides to pop at the combine. Very great athlete, sprinter. We're talking Justice Hill.
Went in the fourth round. Justice Hill rocket ship. The Justice Hill rocket ship is just, it's in flight right now, slowly but surely in Baltimore. And I love the workout metrics. You touched on the combine. I mean, he exploded onto the scene running 4.4 at 5'10", 198. You know, looking at player profiler, he's compared as far as measurable size and speed to Reggie Bush. That's not a bad comparison when we look at where Reggie Bush was taken and what he did in his career, you know, some ups and downs, but still the metrics, definitely I can see the similarities. 97th percentile in the 40, and then a 81st percentile in the speed score, and the burst score of 133, 95th percentile. That's what stands out to me, is the burst, and that athleticism is just really, really impressive. And it shows on film, because he came out his freshman year at Oklahoma State and breaking out right away as a nation's leading freshman runner with nearly 1,200 yards. And as you know, he took that job from Chris Carson in 2016. And what did Chris Carson do when he got into the league?
Hey, he started balling out. Yeah. He was the number one running back for Seattle last year. Is one of the better up-and-coming running backs in the league.
1,000 yards.
Yeah.
And Seattle had the best rushing offense.
Yeah.
With him as a big contributor. So that says a lot to me, right? When Justice Hill could, as a true freshman, that breakout age, take that job away from a future pro like that. And then the next year, he goes for 1,400 yards. And he really made this offense something when you had Mason Rudolph and James Washington at Oklahoma State. That was a real triplet combo. It was really dangerous. And we saw it on the film. Versatile, explosive runner. He's shifty. He creates space with that shiftiness. So he's not the definite violent runner, but he's great in space, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. We were talking about this in Baltimore. Can he fit that Alvin Kamara role behind Mark Ingram? I think he can.
I think he can to an extent. I think when you're looking at a guy his size, I think he's roughly 200 pounds. It's a little concerning for future workhorse roles, but I think in terms of like him being a third down back in the NFL, I think he fits like that profile perfectly. I mean, he seems like a guy last year that was coming out a lot of people like was Nyheim Hines. I think he's Nyheim Hines on steroids, because he's a guy that a lot more athletic, and I think is actually a lot better than Nyheim Hines coming out. So when we're just looking at the ADP, I mean, he's currently being drafted with the 7th pick in the 2nd round. So he's at the 207 right now, currently the 5th running back off the board, which, I mean, running backs usually go pretty early in rookie drafts, and to see him as the 5th running back off the board in the middle of the 2nd round, that seems like a little bit of a value there, because, you know, he has that PPR upside to really be a solid top 24 running back in the NFL.
I think he's a major steal when you're talking about the 2nd round right now, the 7th pick in the 2nd round, and we talk about durability, that question mark. Some people may say he's a little bit undersized, but to be honest, I liked what he did in his career rushing. He got the ball in 20-plus times in 13 games out of 36 games, getting that load 20 plus carries in those games, and this is a spread offense at Oklahoma State. So he showed that he could take, I mean, some games where he got 30 plus carries, showed he could really put that offense on his back. So I don't really see durability be a problem. And I think when you have Mark Ingram there, you don't have to, there's no pressure on him coming into mm-hmm. his rookie year. No pressure at all. He steps in as a change of pace back, using the pass game. The question is, how does Lamar Jackson use him? Does Lamar Jackson take advantage, and does Lamar Jackson take that sophomore leap as a passer, and or does he just take off and run the ball himself? Because we know that's something that he can do very well. But there's also the threat in the read option where him and Justice Hill, that could be a dangerous threat. So that's the question mark. Yeah. Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a question mark. If you look at the Ravens running backs last year, really, Gus Edwards, Alex Collins,
Kenneth Dixon
probably was catching a few passes a game there, but at the same time, these aren't high volume pass catchers at running back there, which is definitely a concern in terms of the overall fit for what he goes there. But in terms of the depth chart, I mean, Ingram's 29 years old. He got signed to the free agency. He's clearly not the future there.
Nope.
He's probably a guy who's going to start the season as the starter, but we could definitely see second half of the season he'll start to emerge if there's an injury or just by just outplaying and playing his way to a starting role there.
Buck Allen led the running backs last year in Baltimore in targets and receptions as far as running backs. Buck Allen, I don't see much competition for Justice Hill besides Mark Ingram. I think he can easily beat out a Gus Edwards and a Kenneth Dixon and take over that third down back role and be that guy in the screen game, be that guy that can move around in the slot. I mean, he's just so dangerous and versatile that by 2020, man, what do you think about his ADP then? I mean, it's a deep forecast. That's far away, but we're talking about him in the second round right now. You can see a major leap next year in regular drafts, right?
Yeah, definitely. I could see him being morally highly sought after guy. Definitely sees ADP rise after this season. I think my question for him and his long-term outlook is the Ravens had put fourth round capital into him, which ideally we're looking for top three round capital for these running backs and skill position players, but fourth round's not terrible in terms of what he offers and what he brings in this depth chart ahead of him. My concern now is next year the Ravens are in the draft. Is this pick going to deter them from maybe taking another highly sought-after running back next year in what should be a very good running back class? That's my main concern for his long-term outlook, but I think for this season, like, definitely as a third-down running back, he can definitely thrive and actually do a little more, like you mentioned, on the ground.
And if you're doing research on the Baltimore Ravens, make sure you do research on Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator,
mm-hmm.
who does like to run the ball, and it seems like that's what the Ravens are definitely trying to solidify with their identity, which has always been the case, but now they have a running quarterback. And Greg Roman in San Francisco, he had Colin Kaepernick, he had Frank Gore, Kendall Hunter, he had running backs, and they were a very physical smash mouth team with a good offensive line. So expect that kind of offense to return here in Baltimore. And they also brought in, of course, Hollywood Brown, Miles Boykin. So they want to stretch the field. They don't want the box to be loaded, but definitely the priority is to run the ball. And Mark Ingram, I mean, he's never been like, do you feel like he's ever been a true bell cow? Like, he's missed times at times. Like, so you can see Justice Hill merging, like you said. He'll need a spell back and a change of pace guy.
100%. I think Mark Ingram, in my opinion, is one of the more overrated running backs in terms of where he's going currently in drafts. I think people are overrating the opportunity. The fact that he did so well in New Orleans kind of gives us idea that he's a really good running back, but we've seen any running back with New Orleans has always been productive because of the volume inside the red zone at the goal line as well as in the passing game. They love throwing to the running backs more than any other team. So New Orleans for the past like 5 or 6 years has been top three in terms of running back scoring. So yes, obviously Mark Ingram had a part in that, but I think his overall talent and what he brings now at a 29-year-old is definitely being overrated.
All right. Well, moving on here, this is a guy that I'm really excited about in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Is Dexter Williams. He's a bigger back than Justice Hill. Comparing these guys, 5'11", 212 pounds. And he really did a great job at Notre Dame this year, despite missing some time, missing some games. A burst score of 126, 86th percentile, agility score of 11.16. That was a little above average, not the best, 78th percentile. You just watch him on film. You put those metrics on film, you see that blend of size and speed, and I think he's perfect for the zone scheme that Green Bay is going to run with Matt LaFleur, with the way he can just cut up the field at any moment, make a decision or cut back, and just show that explosion. He has great acceleration. Guys don't really want to tackle him because he has great size. And I don't see too much of a threat in Green Bay from Jamal Williams. I know Aaron Jones is there, but he hasn't totally shown consistency as an RB1 throughout the whole year. So I think the competition is wide open.
Yeah, definitely. And at this price point, you're currently drafting Dexter Williams at the 402 right now. So fourth round pick to take a shot on a guy who has a real shot at being the number two running back in Green Bay this year. And obviously we've seen Green Bay running backs have fantasy value because it is a great offense tied to Aaron Rodgers. And with Matt LaFleur there now, I think the offense is now going to take a leap from where it was next year. So whoever ends up in that starting running back role is obviously very valuable. Aaron Jones is a stud, but like you mentioned, they haven't really committed to him full time as the true running back there. So, I think it's an opportunity.
Capital.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones doesn't have much.
No, he doesn't.
Capital. He surprised some people when he flashed. He had like 93 PPR points from weeks 10 to 13. That was good for fourth in the running back category. But at the same time, can he stay on the field? He needs to prove that he can stay healthy. And all it takes is one injury, and all of a sudden, people are going to be picking up Dexter Williams. So if you draft him, you don't have to worry about that.
Exactly.
If you can draft him in the fourth round, that's a major steal. I could see him in a deep league like the ones we play in 16-man leagues. It's going in the third round.
Yeah, 100%.
That makes sense because you want to make sure you get your guy. And Dexter Williams, definitely somebody that I would try to take as early as the third round. I really like the way he runs the ball. And I think the Green Bay Packers are going to commit to a run game and not go as pass heavy with Aaron Rodgers. He's getting a little bit older. And you got to look at the coaching tree that Matt LaFleur comes from, Shanahan. That's one thing that and Gary Kubiak, the zone scheme offense, being able to run the ball and play action. And this is a guy that can run the ball well in that zone scheme. So I like Dexter Williams. I was surprised when you told me his ADP.
Yeah.
You think that's going to definitely skyrocket or go slowly, he's going to move up the boards in the next few months?
100%. Just in the rookie drafts and drafts I participated in, he's consistently be going in the third round. So seeing 402 is a little shock for me. I would definitely expect his ADP to rise to like mid. We're probably talking like 305, 306, maybe even like 302. Like, I think in terms of like the sleeper running backs that like after the tier drop off of like the main guys, I think he's definitely near the top of those. So I definitely think his ADP is definitely going to consistently rise into that third round, mid third round there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like even then, I think he's still an interesting flyer because he's a cheap running back and a good offense, like you mentioned. And there's definitely upside there for him.
He had a 33% dominator rating I was looking at. And just looking at his junior year in 9 games where he wasn't the starter, he's averaging 9 yards a carry.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. And then in this last season, playing only 9 games and getting almost 1,000 yards, 995, and 12 touchdowns. And you see him catch the ball at the backfield as well. I see him very, very comfortable and fluid with that. 16 catches for 133 yards. So this is the perfect fit. I think the Packers were very happy to see him on the board, and I think they really do see him not just as a backup, but someone that can work his way up the depth chart, because there is no guy they're committed to draft capital-wise or financially in that backfield.
That's true. That's
true. It's a great fit.
Yeah, James, like we said, Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones, fourth and fifth round picks respectively, so not too much draft capital. That's it. And those guys, I think there's a legit chance that Dexter Williams may not start the season, but by the end of the season is the number two running back over Jamal Williams. He's more explosive, better athlete. So I think there's more to like in terms of Dexter Williams versus Jamal Williams.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now another Williams, our last gem here, James Williams, the Kansas City Chiefs, this is way more of a dart throw. This is like, you got to be patient in May, put him on your taxi squad, right? This is a guy that's behind a lot of guys in the Chiefs backfield, but a very, very explosive offense that you want to buy into.
This is my favorite dart throw, 100%. James Williams, pre-draft, actually Adam ranked 8th among running backs in this class. What he is able to do, as far as a runner, he's extremely elusive. He was 3rd in this class behind only Josh Jacobs and Damian Harris in terms of evaded tackles last year, 15%. He tore up the stat sheet in terms of last year. He's a 205-pound running back. And if you look at what his role is likely going to be in the NFL, I think he fits that third down running back role perfectly. We're talking a guy in the past 2 years, he had 71 receptions as a sophomore, 83 receptions as a junior, declared early. You always love to see that. And as a freshman, he had 48 receptions. So it's like, this is a guy who I think has like a James White type arc.
Exactly.
James White type arc in the NFL. I was very curious as to why he went undrafted, because I thought that modern NFL teams with offenses that, you know, like using air raid concepts similar to what he was using out there.
This is a major steal, dude.
And this is a perfect fit as well. You look at Kansas City, they're using a lot of the same concepts that Mahomes did at the air raid offense in Texas Tech. And you look at James Williams, that's essentially what he was doing down there. They were throwing to the running back a ton out there. I think he fits perfectly. He's my favorite, like 100%, hands down, he's my favorite dart throw because of not only the situation that he went to, but I think he's very undervalued for what he actually brings to the table as a running back. So if you're looking for a perfect, like, third down running back, I think James Williams really highlights everything you want in a third down running back. Just only thing we're missing here is draft capital. And you look at the depth chart ahead of him. He has Damian Williams, who undrafted and had, like, 5 or 6 games where he showed up very well. But he's far from a sure thing in terms of long-term security there. You have Carlos Hyde, who has been inefficient throughout his career, and they signed him to a one-year deal. And then you look at what they have with Darwin Thompson, they drafted in the 6th round. Interesting prospect, but he's still sub 210, so he's another small guy. He's probably not going to be a workhorse back. So I think Darwin Thompson's more of like a in-between, like, grinder. Like, he's a small big back. In a sense. So I think James Williams can actually fit in. If there's an injury to Damian Williams, I think James Williams may be the guy that they're going to lean towards in a third down role versus maybe a Darwin Thompson or Carlos Hyde.
Not enough people are talking about James Williams, the ultimate check down weapon of destruction. Like, you watch Gardner Minshew on tape, he loved checking it down and swinging it out to James Williams. Luke Falk did the same thing before him. Mike Leach used them as well. They all loved them. Like, this was a reason Mike Leach had them on the field so much, because this is what you need to know. No FBS running back had more targets, more receptions. 202 receptions out of 229 targets, which is unreal.
You never see
72
that.
72 first down receptions. Or no one had more forced missed tackles on receptions, 88 of them, than Williams in the last 5 years. This is according to Pro Football Focus. The way that he navigates the field after catching the football, it's very, very impressive. And you hit the nail on the head, the comparison of James White. Look how he's been used in New England. He's so valuable. He may not be the Sony Michel pick with the draft capital, but still, you know he's going to be on the field. And he's Tom Brady's guy out of the backfield. So, you could see the Kevin Falk, the new age Kevin Falk. People remember, go back to that time. There was a place, there's a role for these guys in the NFL. The thing is, like you said, can he work up the depth chart? But this is definite stash. And where can we get him at right now?
You're getting him with the 410 right now. So you're getting him with the 10th pick in the 4th round, currently 46th overall in rookie drafts. And at that point, that's where all the dart throws are. At that point, you're taking guys who were drafted in the 6th, 7th round. You're taking guys who are undrafted free agents. This is by far, out of all undrafted players, he is the guy that you want to go and target. I think there's definitely
it costs you nothing.
Nothing.
It costs you nothing.